throw out there before we maybe change gear slightly, but let's just remain in this place of the presence of Jesus, which is such a wonderful place to be. Thank you, Lord. And that last song spoke of three things that came to mind, especially for me. And I want to put it out there that maybe tonight there's these things that are in the way of some of our lives, getting in the way, doing us down. And they're giants, walls, and being in the valley. And, you know, we all have days that are harder than others, but maybe a sense that for some of us here tonight or watching at home, that actually there are real giants going on in your life at the moment. And this has been a continuous thing for a while, or a significant wall, or a valley that's been longer than you've been expecting. And I just want to give time for you to name that before the Lord. You don't have to do it out loud, but name it in your hearts before Jesus. And we're just going to wait for a few minutes, as we've just sung. We will wait for you, for your spirit to come. Maybe linked to that, when we were worshipping, someone had a picture, a sense of someone abseiling down a cliff, and they'd stopped halfway and found a little cave in the side of the cliff, and they'd almost given up, and that's where they'd been camping for a long time. Maybe similar to what we were saying about giants and being stuck in the valley or scared to venture out. So if that resonates with you this evening, this sense of being, maybe you were on a journey and now you've stopped and you know you need a bit of help to get going, the encouragement from the Lord maybe tonight to have that conversation with him, and he'll help you the rest of the way down. He'll abseil with you, as it were, to the bottom. He's with you. If you are continuing to have a conversation with the Lord, please ignore me. He's much more interesting to listen to than I am. But I wanted to share some thoughts tonight, some really brief thoughts that are going to help us hopefully do some praying later. But if you're still having time with the Lord about those pictures of giants and walls and valleys, continue. If you want to go outside to have that time with him, we won't be offended if people get up and go. Be good if you all didn't do that, otherwise I'll be preaching to myself or the people at home. But that's okay, we don't mind. I think what I'm going to talk about is a little bit about ascension that happened on Thursday, just a little thought from that. And then I'm going to segue that into talking about God's kingdom, the Thy Kingdom Come initiative that's going on. I think that's logically where I'm going tonight. But we'll find out, won't we? You'll find out. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'm afraid we don't have them in the pews because we're not allowed to have them out because of germs. But we're going to dive into Luke 9. Excuse me. Luke 9:51, I think. That's where we'll start. And let me read it to you. This is from the NIV, I believe. It says, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven." Nice little link to ascension there, isn't there? This was before Jesus has died and come back to life, but they're talking about it already. "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there didn't welcome him because he was going to Jerusalem. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they lovingly said to Jesus, 'Shall we call down fire from heaven to destroy them?'" Good pastoral response there. "Jesus turned and rebuked them. And then they went on to another village." And the next bit is the bit that struck me maybe about tonight. "As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, 'I'll follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Lord, would you bless the reading of your word tonight, please? And may we learn something from it in Jesus' name. Put your hand up if you're a fan of flat pack furniture. Some of you people must be. No, me neither. I hate it. And did you know before COVID, there were people that would like have a business of doing flat pack furniture? You'd like, I don't know if they're allowed to do it at the moment, but you'd buy the flat pack furniture and someone would come and like put it up for you. How cool would that be? If Kimberly's watching, that's my wife, she loves doing flat pack furniture. I think it's because it means that I have to have the three little ones for like the hours that it takes her calmly with a glass of wine putting something together. In fact, I think I've seen through her little scheme now, but she loves doing it. But I absolutely hate it. And apparently when I was younger, kind of like a teenager, what I would do is if my mum and dad bought something that they wanted my help with, all of a sudden, what I'd do is go and find a more exciting or important job. So I'd go and, I don't know what I did to be honest. It probably wasn't that important. But I would find anything that didn't involve me putting flat pack furniture together. Anything to distract me, I would do. And I wonder if it's a similar sense here that Jesus is talking about letting us getting distracted from the main task of proclaiming the kingdom. I always think, if I'm allowed to say, it's a bit harsh of Jesus to say to someone whose father's just died, "You want to bury your dad? How unreasonable. Come and follow me." I wouldn't say that as, you know, pastoral care 101. If someone's just lost a relative, you don't say, "Oh, ignore them. You know, leave them in the cemetery. Come and do my work." You just wouldn't do that. So it's important to say here maybe that Jesus isn't saying your salvation rests on this. What he says is that we won't encounter the wonders of the kingdom of God if we have our priorities not straight. I do think I have to say Jesus is being a little bit over-emphatic with what he's saying. In other parts of Scripture, Jesus makes certain that we look after our family. Think of him at the cross saying to his mum, "Behold your son." So, you know, Jesus does look out for our loved ones. He tells us to. So I think Jesus is maybe being a bit kind of making his point. But he's not saying you're not saved if you don't do this. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And we often think, don't we, maybe the kingdom of heaven is somewhere we go to when we die. But it's more than that. In fact, I want to say that's not really it at all, if I'm allowed to say that. It's not a destination we go to. The kingdom of heaven is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, the King, here on earth right now. It's living in the reality of knowing Jesus is king, and he's beaten it all. That's what it's all about. And so here Jesus is saying, look, to truly encounter the things of the kingdom, the victory, you need to have your priorities set on me, your eyes fixed on me. Don't get distracted. Those of you that were here on Thursday for Ascension Day heard me kind of share a message that was a similar about the perspective. And in a nutshell, what I said was based on Acts 1, where Jesus ascends to heaven. Little side note, if you're at church tomorrow, keep your eyes fixed for the ascension of Jesus. It's going to be amazing. That's all I'm saying. I went to Card Factory today. That's all I'm saying. I'll let you continue and think what I might be doing. But don't get distracted about this very important message that I'm talking about now. Shouldn't have said that. And so Jesus is ascending to heaven, and the disciples are there looking up. Quite understandably, and an angel kind of appears and says, "What are you doing?" Which I always think is a bit harsh, because I'm like, well, Jesus has just literally gone up in a cloud. I'm allowed to watch. But the angel says, "Come on, get your priorities right. You need to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. God's power will fall, and then you need to go and be witnesses." Again, the disciples had their perspective on the wrong thing, didn't they? They were looking at the wrong thing. And similarly here today in Luke 9, we're thinking about this idea of perspective. How are your eyes fixed? And then in verse 60, it says, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So have your priorities right, have your eyes fixed on Jesus. Why? Because then we can go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And in the Greek, this word proclaim doesn't mean talk about it every now and again when you're feeling brave. It doesn't mean on a Sunday morning you can talk about Jesus in church, but you can't do it anywhere else. Really, unfortunately and uncomfortably for us, that word proclaim is about declaring to the ends of the earth the kingdom of God. It's the word diangelo, announcing Jesus' kingship. And what's even more challenging is the verb that Jesus uses is what we call present indicative, apparently. I don't know what that means, so I looked it up. And what it means is that it's not a one-off event. Jesus doesn't say, go and proclaim the kingdom once and then come back. It's an ongoing thing. Go and proclaim and keep on proclaiming forever and ever, right now, the kingdom of God. That's a challenge to me. If I think about my lifestyle, am I always, continually proclaiming the kingdom of God? Probably not, if I'm honest. And so we miss a trick when we think that this kingdom of God is just pie in the sky when you die. Because if we stop there, we don't enter into all that Jesus wants us to enter into, the rule and reign of Jesus. You know, we see, don't we, that we pray for things to happen, and sometimes it doesn't happen. But sometimes it does. We see the bursting in of the kingdom and we long to see more of it. Come, Lord Jesus. But we also see glimpses of the glory of Jesus, don't we? And when our eyes are fixed on him, more opportunities present themselves to be bold and to pray for people and things like that. The kingdom is here, but it's also coming. We see this when we pray for healing and we don't get it. And yet other times we see the sick miraculously healed. We see this in the time when we are moved to prophesy, but we don't quite get it right, but we see through a glass dimly, maybe. The kingdom's here and the kingdom is coming. This morning I was kind of thinking about thy kingdom come and whilst reading Ephesians 6. So I want to end by diving into Ephesians 6, bringing in together all that we've looked at so far about having our eyes fixed on Jesus and proclaiming the kingdom and how that can come together. I'm not talking for a long tonight, you'll be pleased to hear, because I want to have a go at praying and just seeing what God might be saying. But we're going to dive into Ephesians 6, and it's the armour of God passage that everyone knows, but I'm going to read it because you can't read Ephesians 6 without it, because it's good, isn't it? But we're not really focusing on that, but it's a good setup for what we're saying. So it's Ephesians 6, verse 10 onwards. So Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, maybe, bit of a curveball. Older manuscripts don't have the word Ephesus in there. So that's quite interesting, because to me it was obviously read at the church of Ephesus, but maybe it was also a wider letter. So there's no excuse. We can't apply it. We can't say, well, that was definitely for a different church. You know, the word of God speaks to our church today, even though it's nearly 2,000 years later. So Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and beyond. The whole chapter of Ephesians is fab. And then he says this at the end. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but the rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, the kingdom of God is different to our political kingdoms that like a bit of military might, thank you very much, and like a bit of flesh and blood. We only need to look at what's happening in the Holy Land at the moment, don't we, to see what's going on there and this tussle of violence and this want of power. But the kingdom of God is different. And then he says, therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. So stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See the importance of proclaiming the kingdom. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Before we move on, just a word about faith. I'm only still kind of learning that actually we can ask God for a bit of faith sometimes. It's not bad to say, Lord, I need a bit of faith. I've totally lost who said it now. There's a prayer in the Bible. Jesus goes to, a man goes up to Jesus and says, can you heal my daughter? And the man said, Jesus says, do you believe? And the man goes, yes, but forgive my unbelief. That's my prayer most days. Lord, I do believe, but I probably don't believe that much, actually, or as much as I should do. I think it's okay to say, Lord, I need a bit of faith. And the reason I think that is because I think of times when I've been stirred to pray for someone on the streets or randomly like that. And after I've done it, I think, did I do that? Or maybe you've done that, you've said it, and as you've heard it coming out of your mouth, you're thinking, what on earth am I saying? I can remember a time when I prayed for a colleague. I was in a staff room at school, and she said to me, oh, my back hurts. And without even thinking about it, I went, oh, Natalie, I believe God can heal you. Can I pray for you? Very charismatic of me. So before I was a vicar, I was in the Vineyard Church, the Baptist Church, and the Vineyard Church. And I said, yeah, can I pray for you? And as I was saying it, as these words were coming out, I'm thinking, no, come back. I didn't mean that. Hopefully she'll say no. She went, oh, yes, please, David. I thought, oh, great. Thanks. And so I prayed probably the worst prayer ever, which was like, I'm in. Going to go and get coffee, bye. And she said to me, what have you done? What have you done to my back? Sorry. No, it feels all hot. It's better. What did you do? And I was like, I don't know. I'm as surprised as you are that it's worked. I mean, yes, that was Jesus. Thank you very much, Lord. I mean, that was a few years ago now. But I always remember that when I think, you know what? If we do it in our own strength, you know, that's not what it's about, is it? But sometimes you might find yourself in a situation where you're feeling your heart stirred or you're feeling a bit more courageous than usual. And I believe with Ephesians 6, that gift of faith, that might be God saying to you, go on, give it a go. What's the worst that will happen? Don't think about the worst that will happen. Just think, I'm going to do it. Let's go for it. So the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, the temptation not to talk to people about Jesus, and temptation not to offer to pray for people, whatever. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I open my mouth, words might be given for me, that will be fearlessly made known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So I want to end by just saying that there are five times in those two verses that Paul talks about the importance of praying. And I only realised that this morning at stupid o'clock because my children couldn't sleep and I was grumpy, so I got up, sat there with a coffee. And so this might not be the Lord, it might just be my caffeine-filled ramblings, but I'll throw it out there and see what you think. So very briefly, five things, and I think there's something in there that each of us can use to help us with keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and continually proclaiming the kingdom of God. And then we might have a go at just praying kind of for a few minutes. We'll see what happens. So the first one says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions. All occasions. That's a challenge for me. I don't think it means that we're meant to go around kind of speaking in tongues under our breath 24/7 or laying hands on everyone. You're not allowed to do that, but, you know, laying hands towards everyone as you walk past in Morrison's or whatever. I think more what it means is just a continual recognition of the presence of Jesus, because prayer isn't just sitting talking, I don't think. It's just having that relationship. Someone in our house group says this, and they say that they just talk to Jesus like he's in the room, because he is in the room. So she says she'll just chat while she's making coffee and, you know, I'm just doing, you know, just like you would a friend. I thought, oh yeah, why not? Why wouldn't I do that? Because Jesus is here right now. Why wouldn't I just want to talk to him? Something I did in my old house, it had the slowest cold tap in the history of the world. So you'd fill up the kettle and it would take you half an hour to be stood there with the kettle. And those of you that know me know I'm not very good at waiting. I'm a bit of an extrovert, a bit of a tigger. And so I'm there thinking of all the things I could be doing apart from waiting, getting more and more angry. And in the end, I think it was Kimberly that said to me, why don't you just use this situation and pray? It's like, oh, good idea, actually. So I kind of apologised for taking the mick out of my wife and said, good idea. And so then every time I made a cup of tea, I used that occasion to purposefully pray. So maybe there might be times like that, maybe something that annoys you, sitting at a red light in the traffic jam, maybe if you've got a commute to work, if you are commuting, or whatever it is, times that it's easy to waste, we can use to pray. I had a lecturer at college that would put alarms on his phone at 10 o'clock, half 11, half past 2, And he knew that that would be in the middle of a lecture. It wasn't a convenient time. And whenever his alarm went off, he'd say, right, we're going to pray. And we'd just pray for 5 minutes. What a great idea. I offer that to you. So we pray in the Spirit in all occasions. And then it says this. It says, with all kinds of prayer and requests. Now, I'm not a very good Anglican because I don't like my liturgy. Some people love praying with liturgy. So if that's your thing, it's okay to pray like that. Maybe you love a different way of praying. Maybe Celtic prayer does it for you. Maybe, you know, praying in tongues for half an hour, if that's a gift that you've got, does it for you. I don't know. But we have permission to pray in all the varied ways that God has given us. Praying isn't just standing with your eyes shut like that, talking. So permission, maybe you've got a funny way of praying, or maybe God's challenging you to pray in a different way. That's okay. We like that. Finally, there's two more, because Paul repeats himself twice. Thirdly, pray for all the saints. And that challenged me this morning, because I thought, how often do I pray for my friends that are Christians? I might pray for those that aren't Christians, but how often do I just pray for people I know? Maybe not as often as I should. Something our house group have started doing is texting randomly people and saying, can we pray for you? Normally they're Christians. And we've had amazing responses. And we'll just, you know, happen to text on a random day. And isn't God good that the times I chose to randomly text people, they were like, oh, well, I'm really glad you've texted me today because I've got this major exam or this big decision. Isn't God wonderful? So that might be something that you're feeling, oh, actually, maybe I don't pray for my brothers and sisters as much as I should. Finally, to end with, Paul repeats himself twice. A prayer for fearlessness. A prayer for praying boldly. And over Thy Kingdom Come, we have 10 days where we pray for, or we're encouraged to pray for 5 people every day who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus. And there's a sense, actually, that that's quite a bold thing to do. To get on your knees or whatever and pray for 5 people to come to know the love and the life that Jesus gives. So maybe for you that's something that you think, oh, maybe my prayer isn't as fearless as it could be. And God might be encouraging you, make your prayer a bit bolder. You know, we've got a big God, haven't we? And sometimes I like to pray safe prayers. Maybe it's occasionally okay to pray big prayers. So I'm going to invite the band to come up, and I'm just going to maybe lead us through. It's weird praying like this, because normally we'd have a moment where people can get into groups if they want to, or sit by themselves, and we're going to have to sit where we are. But what I'm going to do is just say each verse at a time, and just leave a minute for you to pray. You can pray out loud if you want. I understand that's a bit weird. The band will be tinkling behind us, so you won't feel too, what's the word? Too strange. Too self. What's the word? Self-conscious, thank you. Thank you, Paul. You won't feel too self-conscious. Sometimes I get everyone to stand up and pray out loud, and lots of people go, no, I don't like doing that, David, thanks, so I'm not going to do that. But we'll have a minute to pray however you'd like, and then I'll say the next verse, and then we'll continue to worship. And if you've got anything that you feel the Lord might be saying to you, maybe you can come and kind of subtly talk to me from 2 metres away. I know that's a bit strange, but that's a good way of doing it. Or text us on the Facebook page. We did have one picture of a flower bursting through concrete and a sense of that being faith. This beautiful flower, they said, a colourful flower pushing its way through a crack in the pavement. So we offer that to you, I think, as a sense of encouragement, that's as much faith as the huge tree that's out in the meadow, that faith bursting through the concrete. So firstly, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So maybe just a minute to say to the Holy Spirit, okay, what occasions am I not using to pray? When would you have me focus on you more? And then in the second verse of the second part of verse 18, with all kinds of prayer and requests. So maybe a moment to be open for what God might be encouraging you to do in your prayer life, or maybe actually a moment to bring those requests now before Jesus. Thirdly, keep on praying for all the saints. Maybe right now there's a saint on your heart. You've got a friend who you know loves Jesus and they might be struggling, or they might have just popped into your head as I was talking or tonight. And finally, a prayer for fearlessness. So why don't we stand together and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to maybe give us a fresh sense of what it means to be fearless. And I don't know your context tonight, and for each of us there'll be different things that we're worried about or fearful about. So Holy Spirit, come, help us to pray fearlessly. And from fearless prayer, help us to proclaim the kingdom fearlessly too.